Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Carol Reed. Last week, hopefully you met her husband, Isaiah Reed. Carol, as I look at you right now, I have to tell you something. I can't imagine a woman that was beaten at one point 8 hours, beaten, physically beaten, living the life you lived as a prostitute. And I look at you right now, I'm going to have to ask you a question because I see this, but I'm going to have to ask you this anyway. You don't look remotely like, I didn't know that person, but that person doesn't even exist, does she, in your mind?
No, you know, when God heals you, He makes you whole. And so all those things, even though they were things in the past, there's no remnant of it. There's no scars left there only to be used to help other people. Yeah, I went through a lot of those things, but today they're empowering me. They're not anything that holds
me down.
And
I notice you can even talk about it,
yes.
Which if it wasn't for the fact that you know that's a different person.
Right.
But someone doesn't wake up one day and say, I want to be a prostitute.
No.
It's a gradual, little by little. I know you came from a nice middle class family in L.A., but your stepfather tried to rape you.
Yes.
And you ran away from home. And I guess that's when it really began.
You know, I really believe that when I was a child, you know, the devil studies you from when you're little. And he picked those things that were insecurities in me and he just blew them out of proportion. And when they weren't dealt with, they simply grew with me. And so every time there was another part of me that was insecure, he just blew it out of proportion. I believe when my mother's husband tried to rape me, that was my fork in the road. And I said to myself, well, if they think I'm a prostitute, then I might as well be one. And so I literally allowed what I heard in my psyche to manifest in reality, and I bit the apple and believed that I was.
What was the carrot? What were you after? What was your goal back then?
I really wanted love, number one, was always one of the most things that I've ever wanted. But I wanted to be an entertainer, and I felt as though that there was really no way for me to get into entertainment. Because of the media, it shows women using their bodies, and I looked at myself at one point in my life and said, well, I'm beautiful, I can use my body, because that's what the media says, you know? They're looking for the glamorous girls, and every guy wants a glamorous girl in his arm. And so I used my body, actually was a weapon against myself. You know, no one was interested in who Kira was on the inside. They just wanted to see who was this trophy baby that they could put up on their shelves or carry on their arms. And I let it get the worst of me.
So why did you stay in it, though?
You know, when you are in a lifestyle like that, after being in it so long, you know, it's like a voice speaking into your ear and says, what else can you do? You don't have any skills. You're not marketable. You know, where else are you going to make this kind of money? I was making anywhere from $9 to $2,000 a day being a prostitute. The devil makes sin look good. And so I was drawn even more and more. Right. And the 1 year was 4 years. 4 years was 8 years. 8 years, 10 years. 10 years, 20 years. And next thing you know, I look back and where's Carol at? Carol is this drug addict and this prostitute, looks in the mirror. I can't stand myself. There's no other choice.
There was a young pimp that was taken with you and was stalking you. Your father killed him.
Yes, I had... Because of low self-esteem, I sought out somebody that I thought that I could groom and make him into this man that I wanted, because, you know, all the men that I had before had let me down. And so I met this young man, and I told him too much information about me, and he took it and took it the wrong way. And when I decided I wanted to get out of the relationship, he began to stalk me for 2 weeks. And one day on August the 23rd, after getting ready to take my son into the babysitters, he came out of nowhere and was going to kill me and my son. And that day I felt death in the air. I could feel demons in the air to gather a soul, but I could also feel angels in the air. I knew death was there, but I didn't know who was there to collect until he asked me, where was my father at? And the minute he said that, on his face, I could see death. And I began to beg him and asked him to run, but it was too late. The next thing I know, my father pulled up behind me, and within a matter of seconds, he pulled out a 9mm and shot this man 5 times in front of my face. And my world shattered that day, because I had destroyed 2 people's lives because of my insecurity, you know. And it's a thing that the devil will use whatever he can do to hold you back from being who you were created to be.
Isaiah Reed.
Yes.
When did you meet him? And you didn't realize he was even a pimp.
I met Isaiah Reed in 1985. I used to live with Jim Brown, the football player, and one night after coming from a restaurant, I was on my way out, and he came up to me and handed me some keys to a Rolls Royce, and I asked him in a not polite way to get away from me. And then when he decided he didn't want to, I gave him my phone number, and he began to pursue me. And you have to understand, because I suffered from low self-esteem so bad, anyone that seemed interested in me, I gave them my attention, because I needed his validation to make me be somebody, because I didn't know who I was. And he sought me out and began to call me, and I was in this big case with Jim Brown. It was all over the news about raping some girl, and it wasn't true.
The football player.
The football player, Jim Brown of Cleveland
right.
Browns. And so we won the case, and Isaiah, who was at that time known as Prophet, he called himself Ricky Williams, he called me and asked me would I come to Hawaii to celebrate winning this case. And I was like, sure, what girl wouldn't take a trip to Hawaii? And so unbeknownst to me, I flew over there and fell in love with him. And I can remember I thought to myself, now either he's one of two things, either he's a dope dealer or he's a pimp. And when I asked him, he told me he was both. And I figured, okay, you know, even if he is a pimp, I can get rid of two of the girls. I'm cute enough. I can run them off. But then I asked him how many girls he had, and he said, well, I have 17. I was like, wow, you know, that's quite a few young ladies, you know. But it was something that was in me, because we had had sexual relations. Even though I wanted to leave him, I was still drawn to him. And I couldn't deny the fact that there was something between us. And I began to work for him, knowing that he was going to pimp me, and I was in total agreement to do it. See, a lot of people have it misconstrued that a lot of young ladies are prostituting themselves or being forced to prostitute themselves, but it's a free choice. I had a free choice. I chose to do that.
Yes, but when the other women saw he favored you, what did one woman do?
Well, in 1989, I got pregnant, and I said, surely he's not going to make me work the streets anymore. And the other girls were very upset, because they had been with him for 12, 14 years, and here I come along, and I'm pregnant. And I can remember when I was pregnant, one of the girls kicked me in my stomach. And when I delivered my son at 7.5 months, my baby weighed 3 pounds, 3¾.
Did Isaiah have you working the streets while you were carrying the baby?
Isaiah had me working the streets, and also myself. You have to understand something.
I'll tell you what. Hold that thought.
Yes.
We'll be right back in a moment, and we'll bring the man who became her husband, Isaiah, here. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Carol Reed and a man that would become her husband, Isaiah. Last week we found out, Isaiah, you were one of the major pimps in Hawaii, making upwards of $20 million a year. You had a stable of women, of which Carol was one. Mm-hmm. And Carol, one of the women, one of the other prostitutes, was so jealous, she stabbed you in the eye?
Yes, 7 days after I had my oldest son, Deket, I went into a bar, and we got into an altercation. And at the end of the altercation, she came up with a little hunting knife and stabbed me in my left eye, where I lost my vision in that eye. And it was really hard, you know, because here I just had a baby, and now I'm going back into the hospital and losing my sight. And it was just really me believing, you know, God was speaking to me in
Carol,
all these different ways.
Back then you knew diddly
no,
what
I didn't
was
know
going
anything.
On. Now, Isaiah, you in the meantime have a radical experience with God, but you did wrong and you have to pay the price.
Yes.
You go to prison,
mm-hmm.
and from prison you call Carol, who is now out of Hawaii, and you call Carol to marry you? Why?
Well, when I got saved, of course, I had a father in the Lord and started getting discipleship in prison. And like you said, I had to pay for my crimes. Really, it was a mandatory 20. but only did 5 years. So the pastor said that Carol would be my wife. And I said, well, she's not saved. You know, she had all these issues. I said, I'm waiting for a godly woman. The pastor says, well, this is the word of the Lord. So I waited 5 years. And the day that I was getting out of prison, getting processed out by the grace of God, the Lord spoke to me and said, call Carol now. And I said, well, Lord, it's not, I don't have a cell phone in this cell. He said, call her now. So the long and the short of it is, a guard took me to the guard shack, let me make a long distance call, and I called her in California and asked her to marry me. And she said yes in the midst of all her confusion.
Now, Carol, what was going on in your life when Isaiah calls you out of the blue?
Well, this was right after my father killed the young man, so I was in a lot of turmoil. I was very suicidal. I had 2 children. I was sitting that night, I never remember, it was 2:30 in the morning, and I was debating how I could kill me and my kids. And I heard,
really?
I was gonna kill us. I was tired of living. I remember I was screaming out to the Lord, and I told him, how can you allow me to stay in my mess? And I heard the Lord tell me, he said, you know, you got it right. You are in it. He said, because I've always been at the door. I'm just waiting for you to knock. And then he told me, he said, you can't leave here until you do what I say. So you might as well get comfortable. And as soon as I heard that, it was 2:30 in the morning, the phone rang, and it was Isaiah calling on the phone saying, I have 1 minute and one question. Will you marry me? And immediately I said yes. But the funny thing that happened after that, as soon as I hung up the phone, I heard a voice say, he doesn't want you, he just wants those kids. And I said, okay, fine. Well, now I don't have to kill the kids. I can just kill myself. I'll take him, his son. And when I finish taking him, his son, I'll go on and kill myself. And so the pastor found out that he asked me to marry him, and so they volunteered to pay for me to come to Hawaii with my kids. And I only came there to get rid of the children and then go kill myself.
But along the way, you went into a church.
Yes.
Why?
I went in the church to make a mockery of God. I had no desire to get saved. I had a $20 rock of cocaine in my purse. I was gonna just go in there and make a mockery out of this God he said he had found, and I was gonna go back out and do my thing. And lo and behold, when I walked in the church, the praise and worship was going, and I don't remember what was preached, but I knew that I had reached the place that I was looking for. I just didn't know that was what I was looking for. And I ended up at that altar, and within a second, God came, and the Holy Spirit just baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and I was delivered of everything that I had: low self-esteem, lesbianism, drug addiction, smoking cigarettes, lying.
Instantly,
within less than a second, I was delivered. When I got up, I actually had to look down at myself to see who I was, because it was like I had came out of a bad dream.
Now, Isaiah, when she told you what happened to her, what went on inside of you?
Well, when I first saw her, you know, I picked her up at the airport. Like she said, she was still dressed up like we call a hoochie mama. She had on everything showing. And so I says, man, God missed it. You know, here I am. I've been saved 5 years, so I had this religious kind of a mind. I said, I was really embarrassed. And like she said, she ended up at church in front of all my Christian peers. And I said, now they're going to think I'm full of lust because look who I desire to marry. And so the Holy Spirit started dealing with me in the service, saying, you can believe I can save you, but you can't believe that I can save her after all you've been through. And so I just closed my eyes and just trusted God. I didn't know she was going to get saved that night, but I really was kind of repenting that I would stop being religious. And sure enough, I mean, she got gloriously saved and baptized in front of the whole church congregation.
Question. God began speaking to you about him and about your life. Tell me about it.
Yes, when I received the Lord, I knew that it was a touch from God. There was no denying that it was God, but I still did not trust Isaiah the man. And so I told him, I don't know about you, but that night I had a dream, a vision, and the Lord showed me and Isaiah walking to the on the pulpit, him walking from one side and me walking from the other. And when we reached the pulpit, a Bible opened up, a dove flew out, and he said, I ordain this in the name of the Lord, go ye therefore. And then I knew I was supposed to marry Isaiah. And then next week at the testimony service, I told him, not only am I going to stay here, but I'm going to be your wife.
Let me tell you something. If you don't feel the presence of God, the Spirit, the Shekinah glory of God, you need to have an encounter with God through His Son, Jesus. We're going to come back, and you're going to find out You literally went into a mosque and the Spirit of God invaded that place? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Isaiah and Carol Reed. Isaiah and Carol, in a very improbable, impossible, unrealistic miracle, get clean, drug-free. Were you delivered instantly of drugs also?
Yes, sir, instantly.
Well, that's the you know, if you're stuck, that's the best way to be. Both of you were, and you weren't going to marry him because you didn't even trust that he really was a new person.
No, I thought it was a game.
He was, but God came to you, told you to marry him, told you that the two of you would walk together serving him, and you did marry him. And I have to ask you, I know that you have a heart for prostitutes, that you can understand them.
Yes. And you know, it's just such a desire when you've been brought from such a bad place. You know, I thank God because he gave me a desire from where he took me out of. And I've been had the opportunity to travel throughout the world and out of the country to South Africa, and just to sit with young women who are prostitutes and have them look in my eyes and know that I've come from where they came from is just so important.
Pick one and describe that.
I just came back from South Africa, and there was a young girl by the name of Hannah Lee that I met, and she was living in a box on a porch. And the Lord just really tore my heart to go and minister to her. And she wouldn't go with anybody but me. And I said, "Do you trust me?" She said, "I trust you." And I began to minister to her, and she just laid on my chest, and she just cried and cried, and it just touched my heart. And she looked at me, and I was crying, and she said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "I'm crying for you." And it just made her cry. She said she had never had anybody cry for her. You know, and I really have the heart that we need to be people that believe in people until they have the ability to believe in themselves. The Lord allowed me to go to Durban, South Africa, where I went to an area which is called The Point. It's a red light district. Mm-hmm. And literally, we had nine prostitutes leave the streets with me and stand on the pulpit with me before thousands of people claiming Jesus as their Savior. I mean, what a greater gift is to tell people about the love of God, that their sin is not too great, that God can't forgive them. How awesome that is. And you know, and the realness is that I know it to be true because he brought me from a place where I thought I was completely unforgivable, but yet he still loved me. How great God is.
Isaiah, you were in that place also yourself, but now, you literally go into mosques. You, 2,500 Muslims came to the Lord. Is that true?
Yes. What we have to understand is that sin doesn't believe in whether you're Muslim, Jewish, or Christian. Your children still can be drug addicted. Your children still can be murdered. So when the Jewish community, the Islamic community heard that I was raised from the dead by my mother's prayer, you have Islamic mothers that pray for their children. And so they asked me to come and share that about how she was tenacious and how I got raised from the dead. They really didn't want to hear evangelical belief or promote the gospel or Judaism. They just wanted to know the love of a mother that could rescue a child. And as I was sharing, I knew the mandate was to share about how my mother held on to my life and believed for me, but I also knew that God was going to do something special. I didn't know what it was. So I submitted to the criteria, the format of the speaking engagement. And as I began to share how God brought me out of drug addiction and how he raised me from the dead, even being a sinner, the Spirit of God began to touch these Islamic young people. And not only before they even they called out for prayer, they started to begin slayed in the spirit. Now, this is on their own territory.
Now, were you laying hands on them?
No.
And they were falling over? They just fell over by the Spirit of God?
No, that was not the format. The format was for me to present being raised from the dead. That's what they wanted to hear about. And the format was how my mother basically stood in the gap for me.
This was in a mosque?
In a mosque.
And you're saying the Spirit of God came on them and they were just falling to the floor?
The Spirit of God came on them and they didn't have catchers or anything. It was just falling out. And so the leadership after that was kind of confused. So they told them they was having heat stroke, mass heat stroke. And so they led us out. And as we was going to our vehicles in the parking lot, the people began to run after us. And when some of the pastors took out their camcorders, because we didn't know, was it a riot or what, and started filming it. And the young people wanted prayer. They wanted to be saved. Mm. And so we began to lead all those young people to say, receive Jesus in their heart. And 2,500 of them gave their hearts to Jesus that day.
Now, how many children do the two of you have?
I have five wonderful children.
Tell me about your little daughter.
Sanaya. Sanaya is my miracle baby. I had been believing for a little girl for so long, and then at 40 years of age, I got pregnant with my last child, and I didn't want a boy, I wanted a girl. And on the day that she was born, they came to me and they told me that she was severe Down syndrome. Then the next day they came and they told me that Sanaya was deaf, and it devastated me. Hmm. It devastated me to the point that I told God I wasn't going to minister anymore. And the Lord told me, He said, Carol, what you do for me is based on what I do for you. Haven't I done enough? He said, you know what, you're looking at a symptom, and a symptom I can heal. He said, if you would go after souls like I told you to, you'll look back and those things that were meant to be a problem will disappear. And when I got mad at the devil and made a determination in my heart that I was going to go after souls, didn't care about my own circumstances, 9 months later, the doctor came to me with a doctor's report of all the complications Sanaya was supposed to have. And then she showed me the new doctor's report, and she said, this is not even the same baby. And my daughter is a living miracle. She has no signs of Down syndrome. She can hear in both of her ears. She's a praise
and worshiper. Was she deaf before?
They diagnosed her as deaf in both ears.
And so God opened her ears.
Absolutely healed. Absolutely healed. What we do as people is we focus on our problems so much that we let our problems overwhelm us. And we have to understand your problems is only a place of promotion. God wants to develop you into a person, but He needs to instill integrity in you. And if a problem can get you down, it can keep you from your purpose and your goals. And we have to stop looking at our problems. And so God said, don't focus on your problem. Focus on me. Why did my son Jesus come into the world to save sinners? And if you would go after souls, everything that seems to be a problem, when you look back over your shoulder, it'll all be healed. And when I realized that, I said, you know what? I know how to get even with the devil. I'm a win souls. That's what I'm
doing. Let me tell you something. It's not a matter of religion.
That's right.
It is a matter of you were created. Hear me. You that have called out, there must be something more. You were created for intimacy with God. To walk with Him and talk with Him and be so close to Him. There was a Jewish man by the name of Enoch, and it says he walked with God and then he was no more because God had taken him. I mean, if you got to die, that's not a bad way to die. But if you can encounter and experience and have your own intimacy with God, please hear what I'm saying. I am not talking about the things that have turned you off. I'm talking about the only one that can turn you on.
Yes.
I'm talking about the one that came and died and rose from the dead. Isaiah died, and he literally rose from the dead, but he can't change your life.
That's right.
This one can change your life. This one can give you purpose. This one can give you a song in your mouth. This one can give you joy no matter what's going on in this crazy world. And it is crazy because there's a devil running loose. But the only one that can give you shalom, that's what we Jewish people call it, completeness. God wants you complete. Get to know Jesus. You don't need theology. All you need is a heart that wants to know truth. This is your moment. Don't miss it. Do not miss it.